message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're glad you've joined us today, and we trust that our time together in the Word of God will be a blessing and help to you. We're going to look again today at Romans chapter number 3 in the Bible, where we've been for the past several weeks now studying through a passage that is really one of the great passages in the Bible that describes what God has accomplished for us at Calvary. The work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, as he says in verse 24, is a phrase that describes what God has done for us through the Lord Jesus Christ when he went to Calvary and died for our sins and then was raised again the third day to be the author of eternal life to everyone that trusts him. Paul introduces this passage by saying in verse 21, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." And we've talked to you time and again about how you need to understand the difference between God's program under the law with the nation Israel and God's program under grace with the body of Christ. But now, that is, in time past, he dealt with the nation Israel under the law. But now he's dealing with you and me under the program of grace. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest. The old program isn't in operation any longer. But a new way for God's righteousness to be manifest, witnessed by the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets tell us we need this new way. What does the law tell you? Well, verse 19 and 20, he's just told you that whatsoever things the law saith, that said to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. You know what the law does? The law, he says in verse 20, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law holds up a sign over you and says, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, and it makes you guilty. But now, the righteousness of God without the law, without the condemning system that says your performance doesn't measure up, is manifest. Your need of it is testimony, is testified by the fact that the law says you're guilty, you need a Savior, you need righteousness you don't have. And so God's manifest the righteousness. How? Verse 24 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You see, in time past, God dealt with the nation Israel back in time past on the basis of the law. There's this time past program back here, and in time past, the way God dealt with man was on the basis of the law program. He dealt with mankind through the nation Israel, to whom was given the law. But now, over here with this now time revelation, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometime were far off are made nigh, now he's dealing with us on the basis of his grace. The program over here focuses on the dispensation of grace in which God is forming the church, the body of Christ. Two different programs. Now, he says in verse 19, we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law. And the nation Israel was the people who were under the law, and they had a knowledge of the righteousness of God in the law. Chapter 2. Romans 2, verse number 17, behold, thou art called a Jew, and resteth in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident, and an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. They had God's law, and they had God's truth. They knew the Lord. And by the way, verse number 14 of Romans 2 says, for when the Gentiles which have not the law, back here in time past, God put a separation between Israel and the Gentiles down here, and the Gentiles did not have the law. Romans 2:14 says, when the Gentiles which had not the law, but Israel had the law. God gave Israel the law and gave Israel the program. In time past, Gentiles were cut off on the wrong side of the middle wall of partition. But now, all of that's changed. Now there's been a change in the program and the way God deals, and there is a separation and a doing away of the old program and a bringing in of a new system. Now, it's important for you to understand dispensationally in your Bible where we fit. We're not in the time past back here. Time past has to do with the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in your Bible. The early Acts period back here all fit in time past. But now, you're talking about Romans through Philemon, the epistles of Paul that fill up the dispensation of the grace of God. If you want to go in your Bible and find this now time revelation about all that God has accomplished for you through the finished work of Jesus Christ, you're not going to find it back here in Genesis to Malachi or Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John or even the early Acts period, but you're going to find it revealed by Jesus Christ to the Apostle Paul and recorded by him in the word of his grace in Romans through Philemon in your Bible. Now that's where the doctrine for us today, that's where this now time revelation is located in your Bible. Now once you know where it's located, then you go there to get it. You need to be oriented to how grace operates. The world and religion operates back over here. You see, the satanic policy of evil against the truth of God is not necessarily to get you not to believe the Bible and throw the Bible out. If you want to believe the Bible, the devil doesn't care if you believe the Bible as long as you don't rightly divide the Bible. As long as you're going back over here into a program that God isn't operating and not working on the basis of what He is doing. You've never been big enough a day in your life. Your preacher's never been big enough. I don't care how big his ministry is. I don't care how much influence in the world he might have. I don't care how many people go to his church. Your preacher, your priest, your religion, you are never going to be big enough to make God Almighty do something He isn't doing. Now you knew that already. You didn't need me to tell you that. But I'm telling you that so you understand something. The only way you're going to figure out what God's doing is go to His Word. And when you go to His Word, He tells you clearly that you aren't going to find what He's doing today in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the book of Acts. That's what He did in time past with the nation Israel under the law. But now the righteousness of God without that program is manifest, being witnessed by the law, and it's written down for you right over here in this now time revelation communicated to us through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Now, I say all that so we can get on down here in Romans chapter 3, understand why we're doing it, and then get on with it. Verse 24, being justified, that is, being declared righteous. You understand, folks, you don't have to be guilty anymore. You don't have to be guilty. The law says that that your mouth might be stopped and all the world may be guilty. But God says you don't have to be guilty anymore. You can be made righteous. You can have the righteousness of God. That's important. How wonderful that is. Being justified, declared righteous, having God's righteousness freely by His grace. Don't leave that word freely out. You know, back in Genesis chapter number 3, the first words recorded in the Bible that came off the lips of a human or recorded in Genesis 3, verse 2. When Eve, responding to Satan's question, yea, hath God said that you may eat of all the tree of the trees of the garden, Eve says, yes, we may eat of the trees. And she leaves out a very important word. God had said, of all the trees of the garden thou mayest freely eat. And she just left that word freely out. You know what Eve was doing? Eve had not been instructed by her husband in a proper appreciation of the provisions, the ample, abundant, complete, total provisions that God had made for them, and not understanding the complete, total provision that God had made for them in the garden, her faith wasn't resting firmly in the provision that God had given to them. So her heart wasn't adequately filled with gratitude and appreciation to God, and she became unthankful. And she began to rebel in her heart against God. And you know the rest of the story. Anytime that word freely is left out, you better be careful. And you know what happens? Being justified freely, don't let somebody leave out the freeness of God's grace to you. Well, I know what people say. They say, well, you know, You got to work to get saved. You have to do certain things or God won't save you. You say, wait a minute, don't you left out freely. By grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Not your works, not somebody else's works. It's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. Somebody says, well, okay, but now that you are saved, you got to work to keep it. You got to work to stay saved. Listen, if you've got to work to keep it, if you couldn't work to get it, how are you going to work to keep it? It's still free. It's still a gift. Somebody else comes along and says, well, what you got to do is you got to work to prove you are saved. Well, that's just as foolish as all the rest. It's free. Don't let anybody leave out that freely. Freely. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. You see, the grace of God is tied to what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary when He died for our sins and was buried and then was raised again the third day as a demonstration that all of our sins had been completely and totally put away. Grace comes through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 5, verse number 6, Paul says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man would some even dare. Somebody who is of real strict moral standards and a stickler for rightness, people aren't going to die for somebody like that. They might want to kill him, but they're not very often going to die for him. For a good man, somebody who's full of goodness and generosity and benevolence, well, for him somebody might die. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, while we weren't good, when we were ungodly. In fact, verse 10 says, for we were enemies. We were enemy sinners. God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet enemy sinners, Christ died for us. He paid our debt when we didn't care, when we didn't want Him to. You know, if you could go to Calvary today and pick up the mallet that drove the nails into His hands and examine that mallet, you'd find your fingerprints on it. If you could examine the carpentry work of that tree, and you have to understand God Almighty, when He planted that, when He made the seed that was planted, He knew it was going to grow to be the tree that His Son would hang on. He planted it and grew it anyway. And if you were to look at that cross and examine the carpentry work, that you'd see your craftsmanship in that cross. Because it was fashioned by your sin. And it was for your sin and your rebellion and your willfulness and my sin and my rebellion and my willfulness and my ungodliness, our sin, that Christ went to Calvary and died. He didn't do it. The Bible says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Doesn't say He gave a church. Doesn't say He gave a bunch of sacraments. Doesn't say He gave a bunch of ceremonies. Doesn't say He gave commandments for you to keep. Doesn't say He gave a bunch of things for you to give up. It says He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Not whosoever would go to church, keep the commandments, live and act right, pay your bills, treat your wife right, don't do this, but whoever just believes in Him. You see, salvation's by faith in Christ. And that's true no matter where you are in the Word of God. My friend, God loves us, and His love is demonstrated to us in that He gave His Son to be the propitiation, the fully satisfying sacrifice for our sins through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Now, grace produces a wonderful result. When you've trusted Christ as your Savior and you've been to Calvary and you've enjoyed and experienced the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, when you trust Christ, God puts you into His Son. And in His Son is where His grace is. And in His Son is where His redemption is. And in His Son is where His justification is. We are justified freely by His grace. Now I want you to look at Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's grace, when we trust Christ as our Savior, God's grace is given to us in Christ. We're justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The issue is being in Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The issue is, are you in Christ or are you not? In Christ you have life. If you're not in Christ, you don't have life. It's not being in a church, not being in a religion, not being in a school, not being in an economic status. It's being in His Son. The way you get in His Son is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God puts you there by His Spirit. The moment you trust His Son, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And when you're in Christ, being justified, that's who you are now. Now in Him, God made Him to be sin for us. The one who knew no sin was made my sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And in Jesus Christ, God's grace gives you a complete and total new identity, a new status. You are a new creature in Christ. You are a new creature. Not a renewed, rejuvenated kind of a thing, but you're somebody brand new. You are in Christ, and in Christ you're righteous. That's wonderful. You know that? Folks, did you ever just feel like you were dirty? Did you ever just feel like you were unclean? Did you ever just feel like you were just so unworthy that you couldn't ever get anywhere, that you're just helpless and hopeless? You know what He says? In Christ, you're righteous. You've got the righteousness of Almighty God. Now the question isn't, how do you feel? The question is, who does God say you are? And you see, it's finding out in the... This is what grace does. God's grace gives you this wonderful status in His Son. Justified, declared righteous in Christ. Grace says, here, it's yours as a free gift. You say, wow, look at this gift I've got. Isn't it wonderful? Thank you, Lord. Now, if I gave you a gift today, say at Christmas time or your birthday, one of your family members brought a big old gift to you, and it's all wrapped up wonderful and it's beautiful, and you say, wow, isn't that wonderful? Big pretty bow on it. And you took that present and you took it over and you set it on the coffee table and you say, you know, man, I don't want to mess up that bow. So I'm just going to admire that gift. I'm going to look at that package. And you just looked at it. You never did open it. You just looked at it. 2 or 3 weeks later, you're still looking at it. You know what you're going to do? After a while, you're going to get tired of looking at it. You know, you can go over and dust it off a little bit. Pretty soon, you're going to move it off the coffee table. It's going to be over in the closet. And pretty soon, whoever gave it to you is going to come around and say, did you enjoy the gift? Well, yeah, man, it's been beautiful. You get it out of there. If you don't ever open up that package, you're being silly, aren't you? Sure you are. Somebody gives you a gift, why do they give it to you? They give it to you for you to open it up. Find out what's in it. Get it out and admire it and wear it or use it for whatever its purpose is. You see, that's what the Christian life is. The Christian life is simply you trusting Christ as your Savior and God putting you in Christ and in Christ blessing you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, making you a new creature in Him, giving you a complete and total new identity in His Son. You're no longer a child of the devil, now you're a child of God. You're somebody new. And the Christian life after that is you just going and finding out what God has already done for you. Who God already has made you. Being justified. Who am I? Being. State of being. That's who I am. Who I be. Not what I'm doing or trying to become, but who I am. Who am I? I'm justified. I have the righteousness of God in Him. That's something else. There's a fellow goes around the country in the political world. He says, he teaches kids, he says, I am somebody. Problem is, the kind of body you are has to be washed 3 times a week, at least whether you need it or not. Needs it every day, doesn't it? You got to perfume it up. Why? Because you're a stinker. It's called a vile body. You're a sinner. You don't run and puff up your own chest and yourself. You're a sinner. That's who. But in Christ, we're really somebody. We're children of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with His own Son. We're righteous. Come with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Not only am I made righteous and holy in Him, but I've been accepted. Did you ever feel lonely? Did you ever feel like nobody would ever accept you? You ever just feel alienated and worthless and rejected? Did you ever just feel all alone in the world? Well, you know what God did for you? You might be all alone. You might be completely valueless to anybody you can think of. There's a man in my church that I pastor just this past week was telling me he's a policeman. And he was sent on a call to pick up a man who had called and turned himself in to social services in the town where he is an officer because he was suicidal. And so they're going to commit him to 3 weeks in a mental hospital because he's trying to commit suicide. And he went and picked him up and he sat him on the front seat of the squad car and they're riding to the hospital and he asked him, he said, let me just ask you, why were you going to commit suicide? And the guy, just an intelligent guy, I mean, he's not a bum, he's not somebody who doesn't have a, he's got a job, he's got a family, he's so forth. He said, because I am totally worthless. My existence is useless and purposeless. What's life for anyway? Woo-hoo! Did you ever feel like that? A lot of folks feel that way. Looking for acceptance in all the wrong places. You know something? You'll never find anybody that'll completely and totally accept you. You know how you know that? Because you never completely and totally accept yourself. And you know everything about you. But I'll show you somebody that will. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 6, he says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. In the Beloved. You know something, folks? There's only one person that'll ever completely and totally accept you. If you're accepted, then you're acceptable. That's the opposite of rejection. Rejection is the absence of meaningful love, as they say. You're accepted in the Beloved One. God puts you in the one that He values more than all of creation, His Son. And He thinks of you just like He thinks of Jesus Christ. In Christ, Ephesians chapter 1 says that we're without blame before Him in love. Blameless. He says over there, you ever feel guilty? He says you're blameless in Him. You ever feel inadequate? He says in Him, He's made us complete in Him. Giving you complete, total forgiveness in Christ. Come with me to Romans chapter number 4. And we don't have time. The time's almost gone to go through all these things. I'm just trying to give you an idea of what grace is all about. Romans chapter 4, verse number 6, he says, David describes the blessedness, the joy of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works, justified by faith alone, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom God will not impute iniquity. Wow, that's wonderful. You know that? Blessed is the man to whom God will not impute iniquity. Why? Because he's already in Christ imputed his righteousness. That's absolute, complete, total forgiveness. Colossians 2:13 says he's forgiven you all trespasses. You know how many all is? That's all of them. Somebody says, well, no, that's just all of them when I got them. No. God told me one time, he said, well, how often can my wife spend all of my money? Every time I got some. No. You know how many of your sins were future when Jesus Christ died for them? All of them were. Somebody says, it's all my past sins. What about my future sins? When Christ died, all of them were future, and He forgave all of them. You see, the issue here is that He doesn't impute our sins to us. Jesus Christ put away sin, and God gave us His righteousness. And God didn't, you know, there's this idea among Christendom that God is, you know, He'll accept you no matter what your condition is. He'll accept you, put you in His family, forgive your past, put you in the family. But now that you're in the family, you better watch out, because if you mess up, He's going to pull a stick out and whack you real good for it and punish you and whip you when you fail, because now you're in the family. And that's actually got God treating a lost man better than His own child. No, God Almighty isn't going around the corridors of heaven with a chalkboard, watching over your life, trying to catch you, and got the binoculars on you, you know, watching for you to make a mistake so He can zap you with it. You know what God did? He forgave it. He just took the chalk, He forgave all of your sin, and He took the board and threw it in the sea and got rid of it. And whatever, doesn't ever write them down. You know why? Because He sees you in His Son. That's what it means to be in Christ Jesus. That's what it means to be justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Does all that describe the way you feel about yourself today? Righteous and accepted and blameless and complete and forgiven? Well, relax, will you? That's what faith is about. Faith takes what God says is true and believes it and rests in it. Why don't you do that today? Why don't you get in the Word of God this week and study the Word of God? Dan's going to come and offer you a free tape in a minute. You need to get in God's Word. Write and get the tape, or call and get the tape. Get the doctrine and understanding of what God's done for you in your soul, so you can rest by faith in it, and it'll do the work for you. Until next time.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, What Grace Produces. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy, along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 222. That's tape offer number 222. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we're happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you're still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. We'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.